This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
So long, inflation. Hello, recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. High prices probably aren't going to be a problem for a while. Consumer prices were flat in September for the second straight month. That's nice, but it's only because the economy's in a tailspin. Industrial production fell almost 3% last month. That's the biggest drop since December 1974. And the latest unemployment data paints a pretty ugly picture for the job market. But the cost of borrowing between banks is starting to come down slowly. And that's what the bailout was supposed to accomplish, getting banks to lend again. So Wall Street is feeling pretty good about that this morning. So far, the Dow is up 133 points, 1.5%, to 8,712. The NASDAQ has gained 35, 2%, and the S&P 500 is up 15 points. Overseas, stocks had a terrible day. Japan's Nikkei fell 11%, responding to the Dow's big plunge yesterday. European shares are down 2% so far. No price is dropping faster than oil. Consider this. In July, the price of oil was $147 a barrel. This morning, it's half that, $72. More from Ashley Milne Tite.
Consumers and businesses started to cut back on their use of oil when prices shot up. It was then that demand began to weaken. Daniel Yergin is author of The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money and Power. He says even before the big run-up in crude prices, the economy was faltering. And now...
The great global economic growth that propelled oil and other commodity prices up for 5 years is over.
But he says it's not just global demand that influences oil prices.
You know, the financial markets have come to be a very important part of the oil market. And as hedge funds liquidate their positions, as they stop trading commodities, that is clearly one of the factors in the oil price.
Some blame speculators for driving the price of oil to records. Yergin says many of those traders are less active and others have disappeared from the market altogether. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne Tite for Marketplace.
The airlines must be loving the dropping price of oil. Although this morning Southwest reported its first loss in 17 years, and it's because Southwest is losing money on fuel hedging. It bought fuel expecting oil prices to stay high. More on the airlines from Rachel Dornhelm.
Oil prices half of what they were 3 months ago? You'd think executives in the fuel-dependent airline sector would be pulling out the drinks cart to celebrate. But aviation business professor Richard Gritta says you've got to put it in perspective.
And the price of aviation fuel, which was over $4, is still not down to what it was in the heyday of the airlines in the mid and late 1990s when it was about 61 cents.
Of course, the Boeing 747 in the room is the economy. George Novak with Innova Aviation Consulting says, yes, any lower fuel costs are good news.
However, at the same time, these air carriers are facing diminishing demand in a recessed economy. So it's really just a symptom of a greater problem in the economy and something that will greatly affect air carriers.
Novak says airlines use models to lock in the lowest fuel prices to meet their future needs. But he says with all the uncertainty in the markets, those models are as confused as everybody else. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Arrest Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
Time to visit with our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the financial crisis. Chris, we've been getting a lot of emails asking why we aren't hearing from bank CEOs, stepping forward, taking some responsibility, offering solutions. So where is the bank leadership?
What leadership? Where are they? And it's even made me almost start to admire the Japanese custom. And I always thought there was a little bit of hypocrisy there where the head of the organization or the company that had gotten into trouble, you know, will apologize before the nation and take responsibility. You know what? I think it's a good practice. I'd like to see Lloyd Blankfein and John Thain and John Mack and James Diamond and Robert Kelly and all these heads of these banks that are getting a capital infusion from the U.S. government to take some responsibility. I think that Ben Bernanke has taken responsibility. I think Paulson has taken responsibility. You and I can have a discussion and an argument about whether they've done the right thing, but there's no question that they have been exercising leadership.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that these bank leaders are keeping their mouth shut?
The main reasons are they don't know the scale and the scope of the problems that they're still dealing with that they oversaw. And I think that they're genuinely worried about their own pocketbooks. That's what they're most worried about. I now believe that. It's the only way to explain the actions that they're taking. I don't see any of them putting their own money into these companies. It's one of the reasons why people are admiring Warren Buffett. He's putting money into GE. He's putting money into Goldman Sachs. He's taking a risk, and he's saying, I believe we're going to be okay. I believe we're going to come out of this.
What really chafes me, Chris, about this whole situation is they made all this money, and they did a terrible job at their
job.
Okay. And now we heard there was a big meeting with a bunch of bank leaders on Wall Street, and all they seem to talk about is deregulating, things like that, tax breaks. I mean, give me a break.
And we don't want those class action lawsuits. You know, we've got to have some barriers there. What universe are they living in? Who are they talking to? One of the ironies of this whole situation is that there are many people in government who have stood up and exercised leadership in the private sector, which we have worshipped for the past three decades. We're not finding a whole lot of leaders out there.
Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent.
Thanks a lot.
Let us know what you think. You can log on to our website, marketplace.org, and share your thoughts. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.